Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Proverbs chapter 22. We are just going to read just a few verses this morning and for our text, and we'll have, of course, much more scripture to follow in the message this morning. But if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you are physically able, if you're not, of course, we certainly understand. Proverbs 22, just one verse here. We'll read it together here in Proverbs 22, verse 28. Let's read together. Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Then look at the next page in Proverbs 23, beginning in verse 9. We'll read through, verse 10 through verse 12. Beginning in verse 10, let's all read together. Remove not the old landmark and enter not into the fields of the fatherless, for their Redeemer is mighty. He shall plead their cause with thee. Apply thine heart unto instruction, and thine ears to the words of knowledge. Over in Proverbs, we were talking about and read about how we're not supposed to remove these ancient landmarks which our fathers have set. We're not supposed to remove these old landmarks and enter not into the fields of the fatherless. These claims by Solomon, the wisest man the earth has ever known, as far as man is concerned, should be a warning, if you will, or an encouragement to us not to forget. I hope you've noticed the flags down front here and the poppies, which are significant of remembering those who have given their lives for our country. The folded flag and the shadow box there, likewise. Because we ought not to forget the sacrifice that was given for us. And so likewise, we're not supposed to forget the sacrifice that God has provided for us, spiritually speaking. Today we're gathered here, we are in the house of God, and certainly our minds should be on spiritual things. But given the holiday and the times about us, we are also going to remember those from a patriotic or a national standpoint as well. Again, can I tell you, these two go hand in hand. They are very similar in the remembrances of these things. We have the physical freedoms and liberties because of the men and women who have given their lives. But we also have spiritual freedom and liberty because of Jesus Christ and His sacrifice for us. Turn your Bibles over to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. We're just going to focus on a few things today. There are so many more that we could hone in on. But can I tell you that simply a memorial is simply a remembrance. It is letting something that has been done for you affect you in your life. When you truly have a memorial, you enter into the remembrance of those things. One of the things given to the local church to officiate, if you will, is the Lord's Supper. Well, why do we do this? It was just a religious tradition. No, it's not a religious tradition necessarily. It is a memorial service for us to remember and to recollect, to bring back to the forefront of our minds what Christ has done for us. And so we've got to understand that this thing of a memorial is not just a one-time deal. It's an all-the-time thing. It's something we're supposed to retain in the recesses of our minds. Over here in Exodus chapter 12, beginning in verse 12, the Bible says this, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you, when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. And ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. You know, God doesn't want us to forget some things. He was there amongst his people. They cried out. He sent a deliverer, Moses, to Pharaoh. And time after time after time after time after time, 10 times, he came before Pharaoh, and the plagues of Egypt that we know of throughout this particular story came upon Egypt. And God hardened the heart of Pharaoh and hardened the heart of Pharaoh and hardened the heart of Pharaoh until finally this last plague was to be sent. And Pharaoh was going to let God's people go. He wanted them to remember. He wanted them not to forget what had taken place. He said it would be a memorial, and it should be kept throughout your generations forever. Can I tell you, the sacrifice of those in our armed forces who have served our country should never be forgotten. Do not take it for granted. Do not just look the other way and say, well, I'm an American, I deserve this. No, you don't. You don't deserve anything. I don't deserve anything. These people have given their lives for our freedoms. We ought never forget these things. We ought to always remember what others have done to provide for our freedoms. Over in Arlington, I had the privilege, one of the good members there, I believe he ought to be about, 94 now, I suppose, was actually a Marine on Iwo. Yeah? He was there in the sands. And boy, every time I saw him, I just had to thank him. I do love jarheads, okay? They're wonderful. And we tease back and forth, okay? All you Marines or Marine lovers out there, us Navy guys do appreciate you, okay? And yes, we like to tease back and forth. The Marines are a department of the Navy. They say it's the men's department. That's how jarheads work. I made sure to thank Brother Lowe every time I saw him of the sacrifice. And I mean, he had friends shot down right next to him. I mean, what a battle. Just go read about it and go learn about the history of it. And it's just amazing. But we ought never forget or take for granted these things. It should be a memorial forever. And likewise, when God said to the children of Israel that this blood was to be a token upon their houses, and when he saw the blood, he would pass over them and the plague would not be upon them. Can you see, folks, this was to be remembered forever because this is what Jesus was going to do for us.
That's right.
It's the shedding of his blood that gave us remission of our sins. For without the shedding of blood is no remission of sins. Turn your Bibles to Luke 22. Luke 22. You say, how in the world is this the same? Well, we'll see. Because in Luke 22, the disciples have gathered together. They made preparation. And isn't it interesting that the very moment in time that God chose to offer up his son as a sacrifice for our sins was during the Passover. You say, oh, what a coincidence. No, it was the fullness of time. It's when God designed for it to be, because he had told the Israelites hundreds of years, maybe thousands of years before, hundreds of years before, that this would be a memorial forever throughout your generations. Remember the blood, remember the blood, remember the blood, remember the blood. Because it was the blood of Christ that would make atonement for our sins. There in Luke 22, and beginning in verse 12, Jesus speaking here, and he shall show you a large upper room furnished and make ready. And they went and found as he said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. You see, I don't know about you. I'm kind of I like to relate things to my life, or real life, if you will. But could you imagine walking with the Son of God for a number of years, watching him do these miracles, watching him deal with different types of people that some came against him as enemies, some came to him for help and in need of something great. Some came to him and became to know him as Savior as well during this time. But with watching all these things and being by him and residing with him and walking with him and dwelling with him, I just seem to think that after this moment in time and this particular night, that every time they picked up a loaf of bread and broke it open, they thought, this is his body. Every time they picked up a cup, this is the blood that I watched him on that cross shed for me. You see, folks, it ought to be a memorial to us. It ought to be something that we remember. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul is recounting this circumstance of the Passover and the Lord's Supper. And in verse 23, he's telling the Corinthians, who had made this memorial time a party. It's not a party, folks. It's not a feast. It's not a time we get together and have little crackers and grape juice. It's a memorial service. It's a time to remember. And listen, I'm all for the celebrating and Memorial Day, but really and honestly and truly, it's a solemn day. It's a time to remember what has been given for us in the way of sacrifice. Paul, in somewhat of a tone of rebuke, says this, for I have received in verse 23 of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. As often. Folks, we do so little remembering. We get so busy and wrapped up in our lives, we often forget. We are forgetful beings. We need to remember the sacrifice of our Savior. And really and truly, we need to remember the sacrifice of these who've given their lives for our freedoms more often than we do. Because the sacrifice provided something for us. In our country, I mentioned many times today, and I will continue to do so, we have the freedoms we have because of these people. And in Christ and in the spiritual world, we have what we have because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And we've got to remember. We cannot afford to forget. You know what happens to those who forget? Yeah. Not good things. Not good things. When we forget what has been done for us, we take it for granted and we waste it. We waste it. You know, we ought to not do so. Why do you think God told His people, year after year, from generation to generation, you need to keep this feast, you need to keep this time of remembrance as a memorial forever? You know, in our country today, there are some who are trying to erase the memory of these people. They are. They're using all different kinds of excuses. But ultimately, they're just trying to erase the memory of it. I remember back about a little more than a year ago, with all the circumstances of the things that happened up in Minnesota and all that was going on up there, they started wanting to tear down every single statue that had anything to do with any war or any group or any people. And it's like, what? Why? Why does that even matter? You're just trying to erase the memory of our great nation and what we've had to go through to get to this place. Really? I was just mad about it. It was horrible. It's like, well, why? And I just got to thinking about it, like, because they want us to forget. They want us to forget so they can create their own type of country, their own agenda. Can I tell you something? This is not the way it's supposed to be. We're supposed to remember it forever. We've got to remember. And listen, I've been to the wall in D.C. I put my hand on it. I've been there. It's an amazing experience. I've been to the Holocaust Museum. I've been to these places. You know, just speechless. What an experience. What a remembrance. I know around our state and around our cities, there are statues, there are veterans parks, there are different things. You want to just go walk around and just remember sometimes. We've got to learn to remember the sacrifice. Don't turn there necessarily, but over in Matthew 26, remember how the disciples, when he was being anointed, kind of were fussing at Mary and what she was doing. And Jesus said, hey, leave her alone. In Matthew 26, verse 10, the Bible says that when Jesus understood it, this is their, they were disputing back and forth about how much the ointment could have been sold for and given to the poor. In verse 10, he says, when Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. See, these things are to be remembered. They're to be honored. Not made fun of. Not used for personal gain, but for the memorial and the honor and the glory that is brought because of the sacrifice of these. That's right. You understand that when we remember Jesus and what He did for us, it brings honor and glory to Him. Amen. And to His name and to His Father, our God. You understand that we've got to learn to remember. Remove not the ancient landmarks which thy fathers have set. Remove not the old landmarks. We have to understand that there is a sacrifice given that needs to be remembered. Can I tell you also, there's provision that's been given that needs to be remembered. You know, we've been provided with an awful lot. We here in America, the poorest in America, are richer than most of the world. That's true. You say, well, I have nothing and I'm on welfare and I receive food stamps. That's more than most people get. There are people in countries across the world when they get one bowl of porridge a day. Okay, or we can just put it in our Texas terms. They get one bowl of grits every day. And I don't even like grits. I'm a cream of wheat guy. I'm a northerner, okay? You say, what's the difference? One's wheat, one's corn. That's the only difference. But can I tell you something? That's all they get. They've never seen a hamburger. They don't know what pizza is. God bless their poor souls. They have nothing. And we have so much. But we which have so much take so much for granted. We cannot afford to do so. We need to remember the provision that's been given to us. Turn your Bibles back to Exodus chapter 16. God speaks a lot about this thing of memorial and remembering. Exodus 16. I want to challenge you. Just read through the early history of the children of Israel. And you know what you're going to see? A bunch of complainers. That's what you're going to see. But they complained about this. They complained about that. Blah, 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 blah. It just reminded me of Goldilocks or something like that. I don't know. It was horrible how they treated things. And God tried his best to help them out. But they just wouldn't in some cases. Look at Exodus 16. Look at verse 32. Exodus 16, verse 32. And Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commandeth. Fill an omer of it, that's the manna, to be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread wherewith I have fed you in the wilderness, when I brought you forth from the land of Egypt. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a pot, and put an omer full of manna therein, and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations. He says, as the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept. God provided for them. 40 years. Did you read the next verse? It says here, the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to a land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came unto the borders of the land of Canaan. But it was to be laid up for a memorial so that the children to come would see that God provided for his people. Provided for them. He gave them what they needed to exist. And can I tell you something, folks? The men and women that have given their lives as a sacrifice for us have provided us what we need to exist. We have the freedoms, we have the liberties in this country, to the freedom of speech, the freedom to worship, the freedom to have an own property and to have an existence and to seek after life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. Because of what's been given to us. What's been provided for us. Amen. Jesus Christ, likewise, has provided for us liberty. To live our lives as we ought to for him. Not to consume it upon our own lusts. But to use it for the honor and glory of him and his purpose. God has provided us manna. To live by. Yeah. You know, this is your daily bread right here. He said to ask for a daily bread, right? Anybody ever give it a try? Huh? Oh, I think Jesus said something about man not living by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Hey, folks. This is our bread. This is our spiritual sustenance that's been provided to us by God. And we ought to remember it. You know what book is most forgotten? That one. Yeah. Well, we know it's there. We know it exists. We even believe that it's the Word of God. Yet it's so little read and used and consumed. We ought to remember the provision that God has given to us. Oh, go over to Numbers chapter 15. Numbers 15 and verse 37. Now by now, those of you that have been here a while, you know we like to flip through the Bible here. So if you choose not to, just listen. Or you can go back and watch the service again if you cannot listen that quickly. Numbers chapter 15, verse 37. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and bind them, or and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put on upon the fringe of the borders a ribband of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that ye may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them. And that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which ye used to go a whoring, that ye may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. You know, God provided everything that these people needed to be successful. He gave them the direct commandments and principles of life to live by. Hey, folks, God wants us to live in abundance. He wants us to live successful lives. He wants us to be successful. He wants us to be fruitful. What's wrong with that? Nothing. And is he expecting us to figure it out by ourselves? Here, I want you to be successful. I want you to be fruitful. You figure it out. No. No, we don't have to figure anything out. We just have to read and do. That's all we have to do. He's given us the commandments. He wants us to seek after him and his words and remember these things and be holy unto him, because he is the Lord God. He is the one that's provided for us the way to live. He's given us everything we need. Over in Joshua chapter 4. Just keep going. I do try to put these things in order so that you can just kind of run with me here. In Joshua chapter 4, and beginning in verse 5, we need to remember what God has provided for us. You understand that at the beginning of Joshua here, chapter 1, he told Joshua to be strong and courageous, and he told him to go over the Jordan and to inhabit the land which he had given to them. When somebody gives you something, that's a provision, okay? He gave them a land. He gave them a place to live. He said, I'll even fight for you. And I'll drive them out before you so that you can have this land. Here they are about to cross over into the promised land. In Joshua chapter 4, look at verse 5. He says, and Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan. And take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you. Listen, why do we want to know about God's provision for us? That when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then shall ye answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Look over at verse 20. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan, did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you, until ye were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. It's a memorial, folks. It's a remembrance of what God has given to them. Hey, these folks didn't earn this land. That they didn't win it in victory over battle. God drove them out. God gave them the land. It's God's provision. Listen, I'm glad that you have an able body and you can physically bring home the bacon. And I'm for literally bringing home the bacon. Now listen. But it's not you. It's your God. We need to show to the generations to come the mighty works of God. We need to show them that it's God in us that does these things, that provides for us. Hey, listen, we as Americans, we didn't go out and fight these wars. Some of us maybe in here had a little bit of involvement in it, but for the most part, someone else did, and someone else took the bullets, and someone else got blown up, someone else lost their life, so that we can have what we have in this country. You yourself cannot get to heaven. Someone else provided the way for you. Someone else did. The Lord Jesus Christ provided for us our home in heaven. Can I tell you something else? Jesus Christ, and by God, in His love toward us, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Yeah, He gave. It's a provision for us. Go over to Acts chapter 10. You know what? If you seek after God, He will be found. There's a man, a good man. He even prayed. There was, in Acts chapter 10, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. This is the first rock group mentioned in the Bible. A devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people, and prayed to God always. What a curious situation. He really did seek after God. He really did care about this thing of God. He says he saw a vision evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. When he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa, and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Skip over here to the end of chapter 10. Look at verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation that feareth Him and worketh righteousness is accepted with Him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth
with the Holy Ghost, with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up from the third day and showed him openly, not to all of the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. You understand that all this happened, and they believed on Jesus Christ. And they were saved. And he tarried with them, and he helped them understand how all this took place and happened in their lives for a purpose, for a provision for salvation. Even to a centurion. Even to a Gentile. Aren't you glad? Yeah. Yeah. We know that the gospel of Christ is to the Jew first, but also to the Greek. And we know that it's a provision for us, and we need to remember the provision that God has given to us. There's one more thing that I think we need to really think on and consider as a memorial. These ancient landmarks which thy fathers have set. And it's probably, it has to do with the first two of sacrifice and provision. But the last thing that I want us to focus on today is something called identity. Who are you? You know, our nation has struggled over the last many years about who they are. We've seen a mixed message on television and in the news and even through politics. What it means to be an American. We've even seen a little bit of trouble of what this flag represents and means. I get boiling mad whenever I see someone disrespecting this old flag. I mean, I do. I almost come out of my skin. Because I know what this stands for. Oh, they think they have an idea about it, but they have no clue. And those, well, I just can't stand it when they don't stand for it. If you know what I mean? Mm-mm. Not on my watch. But you know what? I almost don't blame them. Because they just haven't remembered. They don't know what it means to be an American. They don't know what it means to stand for the freedoms and liberties that these that we're celebrating today have given all for. They have no clue. They have no clue. They have no identity. They don't know what it means to be an American. What it means for those privileges and provisions and sacrifices that have been given for us. Can I say to you likewise? There are some that just don't know what it means to be a Christian. There are certain things that mark a believer in Jesus Christ. And these things ought to be remembered. I don't have time. I'm already over time, but I feel this is so important to understand that we've got to know who we are. In Joshua 24, Joshua was going back and forth to the people. Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. If you're going to serve the other gods and that your father served before the flood. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people said, we were going to serve the God. And he said, let this be a testimony for you. And let this be a memorial. And he took a big rock. And he put it up under an oak tree. He said, this is going to be for a memorial for the generations to come of who you are. You are the people of God. This is your identity. Don't you leave it. You know, at the end of that chapter, it talks about how the people of God served God all the days of Joshua, and then of all those who overlived Joshua, but then guess what? Chapter 1 of Judges is the darkest time in history because they forgot who they were. Listen, I'm an American from the bottom of my feet to the top of my head. My bald head. Our country is forgetting who we are. They are. They're forgetting who we are. I don't know that American means American anymore. Mr. Obama, when he was president, he said that our nation is no longer a Christian nation. You know that made me mad? That made me mad. But then I stopped and thought about it. He's right. It may have made me mad, but I think he's right. I don't know that we're a Christian nation anymore. I look around and I don't see it. Do you? I'm sure need to see more of it. Our identity. One last place. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1. We'll be done today. We've got to remember what it means to be a Christian. Remembering our identity, who we are in Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 1, I apologize. 2 Peter chapter 1. Three times, Peter says to these people to remember. Look at verse 12. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. Always. What things? The like precious faith, the grace, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness charity. For these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's our identity as a believer in Jesus Christ. Today's Memorial Day, or the celebration of it. Tomorrow's Memorial Day. We need to remember the sacrifice, the provision, and our identity as a believer in Jesus Christ.